We are so thankful for you. We thank you for your goodness. And Lord, we do lift up young adults, the children at this retreat. And we just pray that you touch them in a special way, that, Lord, that they would be stirred. And God, that you would use it in a powerful way. And Lord, I thank you for the different people that are traveling. Protect them, and Lord, and just cover them. And many people taking college kids to school, or kids returning, I pray you protect them. And so, Lord, we just thank you for all you're doing, and we thank you for just your love and just the things you've protected us and shown us. And Lord, I ask you this morning that we come together and just rejoice in your word, thankful that you're showing us stuff we never would know unless you would be our teacher. And so we thank you for that. So I pray you just anoint me, Lord. I speak words of the Spirit, words of truth, and each heart would be able to receive, and that, God, you would use this in a powerful way. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen, amen. Excuse me. Okay, we are going over these, our legacy here at Broadlands Community Church, the things that the Lord has really laid on our heart that we would stand for, and we stand for all the scriptures and everything it says, but we're looking here at our legacy, the things that, you know, hey, that we're going to focus on and we think has just tremendous power, and we want to go over those things and reinforce them. And by the way, it's our legacy. These are all the things you've heard before. So this is a repetition. This is a summary of what we've over the years have covered. But I just wanted to put them in this group. I felt the Lord led me to do that. And so we have eight messages. The first one was last week. God speaks today. And then this week is scriptures or God breathed. And so that's what we're going to look at today. And the reason for this is one of the reasons I see that this world is just, you know, it's a dark place. And it's Christianity's attacked, the Word of God's attacked. And, you know, and sometimes we get wrapped around the axle when people, unbelieving people, come and they start giving us arguments. And we try to communicate on their level. And what we need to do is, no, we're going to bring them up to focus on Christ. To focus on Christ, and that we say things that are going to pull them into that conversation if they're willing to go there. And so these truths, I believe these truths, embracing these truths, enable us to dismantle, neuter, and defeat anything Satan throws at us. And these messages redirect the conversation to Jesus, who holds the answer to all questions to all mankind. And so you see, instead of trying to answer everything, we funnel it back into Jesus, present Jesus, and if they grab Jesus, they will get their answers. But we need to be wise about how we approach it. So like I said last week, one thing we stand on, God speaks today. And this morning we're going to look at the scriptures, or God breathed. And so that's number two. And so we're going to look at 2 Timothy 3:16. I'm just going to read the first part of it. And it says this: all scripture is God-breathed. I mean, that's a fascinating statement. And we start right there, and it really, that really has an impact on the way we would approach anything, anything. Now, this statement, as we think about this, this statement is equal to Genesis 1:3. It's equal to Genesis 1:3. And what Genesis 1:3 says is, God said, and there was. Now think about that. People ask me, so what do you think about creation and, you know, how everything come into being? And I said, well, in the beginning, there was God and nothing else. See? And what happened is God spoke, and there was all of creation. Now see, that's the magnitude from which we are approaching everything, and it changes the whole playing field. Changes the whole playing field. So we see in this, we see that God, in God's being, in his very being, is the source of all creation and all scripture. All creation came from God's being. Scripture came from God's being. So the magnitude of what's said is really fascinating, fascinating. Then God tells us things. If we look at it like this, we should understand that God is not within human ways and thoughts. He's not within our ways and thoughts. But His ways and thoughts are infinitely higher than anything we can imagine. See, it just kind of puts off, you know, it's like, no, where He is coming from, human beings aren't even close. They don't have a lot to offer. They don't have a lot to add, okay? Because everything comes from Him. And, you know, the Lord gives us scripture and tells us that. Now, look, if you will, we have overhead here. It says, in Isaiah 55, 8 and 9, and I split this up too, but Isaiah 55, 8 says this, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither your ways my ways, declares the Lord." You know the Frank Sinatra song, "I Did It My Way"? That means He didn't do anything like God wanted Him to. He said, "You know, you want, I am close." See, and then look at verse 9. Isaiah 55, 9. "As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." So again, that just puts us in perspective. You know, as we're trying to figure things out, this perspective is like, you know, to really know what's going on, we really need to kind of hear from God. We need to hear from God to have any idea of what's going on and how we function in this world according to what God intended. Now, so right here with that fact, with the believing, with the trusting and believing that fact, we see that it's only through Scripture, only through Scripture, can we understand the works of God and His purpose for us. I want to know what God will do with my life or the kids. I want to know, you know, this is what I want to do. And the thing of it is like God has created us for something, and He's going to work through us. So we ought to ask Him about it. We ought to communicate to Him. "Lord, what are you doing? What do you want me to do?" And it's through Scripture we see God. We see God. We see into the heavens. And we see Him as sovereign over this world. Now, I want you to think about this. We see Him as sovereign over this world. Now, let's just bring it down to right this minute. Why am I here behind this pulpit? He's sovereign. And it's like, well, I don't like being here. But, well, the issue that I have is an issue with God. But it goes, why are you where you are? Because God is sovereign. Well, how can I, in this position, go out and do the things God wants to do? And you call Him as sovereign. And then you start asking Him how He wants to move you. How He wants to move you. There's an interesting thing, and we talked last week about God speaks today. And we talked different things about it. But there's one verse I didn't put in there because it was kind of took away, I thought, a little bit, but it's the truth. Because we said, well, God's not speaking to me. I don't know what to do. You know, I think He is speaking to us. Speaking to us. David said something too, and this is recorded almost identical for a few different people. David told Nathan what he wanted to do. And David was a prophet. And he said, "Nathan, this is what I want to do." And he says, "Do whatever is in your mind, God is with you. Do whatever is in your mind, for God is with you." Because we are put here, divinely placed, given a mind that is set on God. And our mind and our thoughts start becoming controlled by Him or taking Him into account. And therefore, as we move in particular things, we know He is with us using the mind He gave us to guide us. Now, in that particular thing with David, so I think that's a lesson there. When Nathan said, do what's in your mind because God is with you, that we know that God works through our minds to do certain things. And David said, okay. So he started a certain direction. God spoke to Nathan and says, go tell David, that's not what I'm going to have him do. See, but he didn't tell David that's not what I'm going to have him do until David was able to evaluate and move forward in what he understood. And then he said, no, you need to make a little left turn here. All right? And then I'm going to use you in a powerful way to get this done, but you're here, and then your son's going to take care of this. But David took that step. So the point I'm making, don't make this bigger. Well, God's not talking to me, and he never says anything to me. No, as we function, put God first, read the scriptures, pray, and move forward, he permeates who we are and works through us. We say, oh, God, come and speak to me. Now I'll ask you a question. Where is God? He's in us. See, right? He's in us. So he's here. And so he's moving us and using us in the way he's made us. Does he speak verbally and through scriptures and point out? So absolutely, and everything I said last week is absolutely true and shows us specific things. But as we function in our life, God is present, permeating our mind. And if we get out of step, he'll show us. He'll show us. See? So we always walk with him, put it before him, and walk as one with him. Amen? Okay, so, but here I want to look at how important we know his ways are higher than our ways, and we're always giving it to him. And through the scripture, through the reading of the scripture, we see who he is and his ways, and we have an understanding of him. And so as we go through life, giving everything to God, and he says, Lord, you lead my way. We need to be daily in the scriptures reading to see how he works. To see how he works. And there's certain things, well, I'll do it this way. And you think, nah, that's not how God works. That's not how God works. And we know it from reading the scripture. But the scriptures guide us. God, he's showing us the majesty of God that's higher than the works of this world. So this is what we're going to look at. It says, scripture is God breathed. If you want to hear God, read the scriptures. He breathed it. I don't understand it. Okay. He still breathed it. The issue that you don't understand is because you don't understand him. And you just keep reading, and he will teach you, and he will teach you. How many of you, you don't have to raise your head, you know, read through the scriptures, you spent years in the scriptures, and you read the scripture, and you go, where'd that come from? What is that? It's like this is a new edition of the Bible. I know this doesn't. No, we read it before and it didn't register. We read it before. We didn't understand. And now we read it that he speaks to us, and where we are, we think, oh my gosh. And that happens throughout one's entire Christian life. Any preacher, any man of God or woman worth anything will never say to you, I understand it all. None of them. Nobody. Okay? And what they'll say, I'm learning. I'm learning. I'm just constant. God's constantly speaking. I'm constantly learning. Because God's infinite and his word is infinite. So here we are. So this is important. And this is what he's saying in Isaiah 55. Okay? He said, you're not even close. You're not even close. Well, say I'm 75 years old, and I read the scripture 2 times a year, and it's like, now I got it. No, this verse says, no, my ways are higher than your ways. You may understand more, but there is so much you don't understand. You better ask me about everything, even when you're 75 and been in the scripture your whole life. Better ask me, because you will know. You don't know. Are y'all with me? So it's a powerful, dynamic place we are. Powerful, dynamic place we are. Now, and so when we can see the heavens and see the sovereignty of God, when God spoke when God spoke the inerrant word to the prophets and apostles, they understood this. Therefore, they fearfully only spoke what God said. So they understood God. They understood God was talking to them as they wrote the scripture. And they knew his ways were higher than their ways. So they didn't add anything. They didn't add anything. Okay, that's just what God says. That's just what God says. And the thing we see in the scriptures, many of them, at the time they wrote scriptures down, did not understand what the scriptures meant. You see where they ask, okay. And you said, and it's after, okay, God. And so they didn't understand it. They just wrote what he said. Wrote what he says. And so that's how we have the scriptures before us. And what they were, like Jeremiah, and you see, Jeremiah does this often. In the book of Jeremiah, like Jeremiah, they fearfully spoke only what God told them. Now you'll notice that they all do it, but you'll notice in Jeremiah, it seems to me like more that Jeremiah, before he said anything, he kind of prefaced it with, okay, this is from God, it's not from me. And as an example, I'm putting down Jeremiah 33:2. So here's Jeremiah's about to explain something that God said. He said, okay, here's what the Lord said. So here's his preface. Jeremiah 33:2. This is what the Lord said. He who made the earth, the Lord who formed it and established it, the Lord is his name. He said this. Do you see where he put scripture? This is where they put scripture. This is where the authors, God used different people to write the Bible. Is he spoke to them. And these guys, through their experience, recognize who God was. And that's the reason God used them. That's the reason he spoke to them. And they were fully convinced. Now, here it's like, you know, I started off with Genesis 1:3. God said, and there was. Well, this is what Jeremiah said. This is what the Lord said. He who made the earth. I mean, he said, and there was the earth, the universe. See, and he's saying the same thing. He who formed it and established it, the Lord is his name. Now, let me tell you what he said to me. And I'm not going to change one word because I know who told me, and I'm fearfully going to be careful in what I write down. And so that's how the scriptures came about to us, and especially in the Old Testament. Now, here's an example which is kind of fascinating. It's Daniel, hallelujah, it says Daniel, in his own right, was a prophet. His own right. And he wrote the book of Daniel, and he told us multitude of end time prophecies. And when you look at Revelation, when it talks about the end times prophecies, they quote Daniel. I mean, so they have that connection. So in the very early on, Daniel was giving end times prophecies. Now, Daniel not only was used as a prophet and gave end times prophecies that the God told him, he also trusted the inspiration of the prophets before him. Now think about that. We think, man, Daniel. But Daniel trusted the inspiration of the prophets before him. Daniel even records revelation from God that he received by reading the book of Jeremiah. Now listen to this. This is Daniel 9:2. So Daniel, in his prophetic office speaking, he said, I, Daniel, understood from the scriptures. Now take note of that. God spoke to Daniel. Daniel wrote scripture. But he said here, I, Daniel, understood from the scriptures according to the word of the Lord given to Jeremiah the prophet. He said, I understood something by revelation when I read Jeremiah the prophet. God spoke to me. God showed something to me. See? Daniel is giving the inspiration of Scripture by telling what God used Jeremiah to speak to him, who was before him. And He goes on to say, and he said, what he told me and showed me is that the desolation of Jerusalem would last 70 years. Now, Daniel is in Babylon. Jerusalem has been totally destroyed. And he's in Babylon, okay? And so, you know, things are not looking good from his point of view. But he read Jeremiah, and he said, no, from the time of destruction, 70 years, and I'm going to take you all back. See, Daniel was reading Jeremiah 29:10. That's what he's reading. And even though God would speak through Daniel, he trusted the God-breathed word spoken before him. Now, that's just, all right, if Daniel believed the scriptures, we probably should, all right? And so it's just an example of the inspiration of scripture, and that's what Daniel believed, and he believed what he read in Jeremiah. Daniel is a, you know, is a big, you know, reference, you know, to Jeremiah's inspiration. Now, Jesus, again, we're going through this. Jesus reinforces this. He reinforces the same thing about Scripture, Jesus also teaches us we should fully trust in the God-breathed Word of God. Jesus is going to tell us. I always think this is fascinating when Jesus does this, because anything Jesus said would be Scripture. I mean, just it would be. But what he does is he constantly refers to Scripture, constantly quotes Scripture, which is evidence to us that Jesus believes in the inspiration of Scripture and what was written. So we also should take close notice to what was written. Satan challenges Jesus. Satan challenges Jesus. And then Jesus answers Satan. Matthew 4:4. Satan, it is written. It is written. I mean, come on. Jesus has done anything. Listen, we'll have it out. No, he goes, it is written. Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word. Which word? Every word that comes from the mouth of God. As a huge testimony to the inspiration of Scripture. That Scripture is God-breathed. And it comes from Jesus confronting Satan. Why didn't Jesus lower himself and get on a one-to-one argument with Satan? I mean, it's a waste of time. He just said, no. No. It is written what? Man shall not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Because the Scriptures are God-breathed, God desires to teach us to read the Scriptures and trust the very Word of God. Amen? So I just process again. Because the Bible, the Scriptures are God-breathed, God wants to teach us to read the Word and trust the Word. And he will do things and bring things into our lives so that we will read the word and trust the word and have a greater view of him. And so part of hearing God and part of walking with God is reading the scripture. And God is going to make an effort to teach us. Okay? God's involved in our lives. And he wants to teach us. Now, this verse where it's written that Jesus quoted to Satan comes from Deuteronomy. It comes from Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. Now, when you go to Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3 and read the whole thing, you get the whole picture of what Jesus was saying, and you get the whole picture of what God was doing. All of a sudden, and we get this understanding from the Old Testament. Now, this is going to help you understand what God is doing with you and me, is it has to do with Scripture and in our life what he's trying to teach us. You ready? Deuteronomy 8:3. God humbled you Now, I mean, I just paused there. I said, Lord, I mean, just tell me and help me out. I'm humble enough. I mean, this guy, you got to be kidding me. Humble. Now, by me saying that is very proof that I'm not. Very proof. See, God goes, you, my ways are higher than your ways, and you don't even know it. You really don't know it. And you think you've got things figured out, and it's not going to work out. And you don't even know it. See, so what God did, he says, Wallace, I humbled you. I humbled you. Causing you to hunger. Why is this happening to me? Why am I hungry? Why isn't this working out? Because God caused it not to work out, and he caused me to be hungry. This is a fun scripture, isn't it? I mean, it's like, but that's God, that's what God did. He did this to humble you, causing you to hunger. And then what it says? And then feeding you. You ever try to feed a full person? You know, or your kids, you know, try to feed them. You know, they shut their mouth, twist their head, you know. It's like, wait long enough, I'll eat. But anyway, that's a different story. The point of it is, why did he cause us to hunger? Why would God cause us to hunger? Why would God cause things to, and he says, by the way, God caused it. I mean, we blame Satan. Satan did this. I rebuke Satan, you know. But no, God caused this. Why? So he could feed us. Now look at the pride. He humbled you, causing you to hunger, then fed you. And he said, and in this specific said, fed you with manna, which neither you or your ancestors had ever known. So nobody else in the background ever knew this when he fed us. Okay, God, why did you do it this evening? Humbled us, you caused the hunger, then you feed us. Why do you do this? Why? Don't we all ask why? 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 And he says here, to teach you. Now, some of us are more hard-headed than others, okay? And it's like, I don't think I'm that hard-headed, but evidently I am. Evidently, because I go through a lot of this humbling and hunger and then get fed to teach me that is. And I think it's important to know when he fed the Israelites with manna, which neither you or your ancestors had known. See, it's nothing you've ever experienced before, nothing you ever saw before. It's something special for you from God. So he humbled you, caused us to hunger, and then fed us so he could give us something for us that we never had before, to teach us what? That man does not live by bread alone. Man does not live by his own means. Man does not live by his own efforts alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. That's what Jesus told Satan. And he says, no, I'm not doing this. See, if you remember what he said, Satan says, turn this rock to bread. He goes, no. No. Why? Because it's not my efforts. It's not what I can do. It's me trusting God and believing he will provide. That's the lesson, Satan. And that's the reason I'm not going to do it. I can, but I'm not. Because the way a man lives, the way a man and woman live, is to trust and believe every word from the mouth of God. See, Jesus knew that. We don't. So he's going to teach us to be like Jesus. Amen? Everybody's going, yeah. Yeah, amen. But the purpose of it is what we see in here is we can see cause and effect why certain things happen. And God knows He wants us to be like Jesus. He wants us to walk like Jesus. He wants us to hear Him, trust Him so He can pour out all His blessing upon Him. But so He has to teach us. And He tailor makes everything within our life to teach us. And this is exactly what this scripture's saying. And isn't it interesting that Jesus uses this scripture to undercut Satan? This is the scripture He uses to undercut Satan. And what Satan is trying us to do things on our own effort without God, and so that we can make this happen, and God says, and that's Satan's will, that's Satan's work against God, having us make it happen. And Jesus answers, no, that's not the way it works. And so God's going to humble us, make us hungry, to teach us that we may rely on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Thus, the scriptures God breathed. Should we read it? Should we read it? Should we pay attention to it? And which word should we read? Every word. Every word. Every word. Now, so what we see here is we see that God causes the hunger to teach us not to trust in this world. Why is everything in this world going wrong? Because I don't want you to trust in this world. What I want you to do is to rely on the word that comes out of the very mouth of God. Mouth of God. Now, we together here, this is what, and by the way, this is what God's doing, and so what's good about it, so we understand what God's doing. And this helps, okay, what are you teaching me? What do you want me to do? How are things, God, I'm focused on you, there's things I don't understand, and I'm going to walk with you and ask you to go before, and I want to be here from you, and I want to walk along with you as you drag me. That's walking with the Lord, see? And it really helps if you read the Word, because then you understand who God is, and His ways are higher than our ways. How many of you going through something in life, I don't understand this? Okay, read and listen to me, and I'm going to do something all around you, but the first thing you have to do is trust me, and I will lead you where you want to go. All right, so we made a point. God breathed. The words of God. This is the reason to read it. Now, here's something else that's really important, is that understand that the God-breathed word, and this helps us, people can read the Bible and really get off base. Have you ever noticed that? For a multitude of reasons. Well, I'm going to give you a statement here that will help you to understand and how not to get off base. Now, you may be a lot of things you don't understand, but you won't get off base, all right, and go start some other religion or do something crazy. You know, this will help you to stay on base, and it'll help you to evaluate other teachers that they're not off base or that they don't get off base. And this is it. God breathed, is it really important? God breathed scripture leads you to Jesus. God-breathed scripture leads you to Jesus. There's a lot of cults that quote scripture. There's a lot of cults that believe in the Bible. But what they believe doesn't lead them to Jesus. So if we believe that scripture leads us to Jesus, then there's an element that we know we're on the right path and have a right understanding. I love what Jesus said, and the Pharisees were all off base, okay, at the time of Jesus. And Jesus says this to them in John chapter 5, verse 39. He says to the Pharisees, well, maybe we should make it more personal. I'll make it very personal. This is what Jesus says to me. You study the scriptures diligently because you think that in them you have eternal life. Now that Jesus is saying this, you think you have eternal, so you study them diligently. These are the very scriptures that testify about me. If you miss me, you've missed everything. problem with the Pharisees, they studied the scriptures. They are noted for like memorizing the entire Old Testament. They were scholars. But he said, your problem is you missed me. And therefore, God's harshest words of condemnation were to the religious leaders. You remind me of a grave, a full of dead men's bones. Well, that's not nice for Jesus to say. It's not very, but that's why you call your graves full of dead men's bones. Your whited sepulchers. Jesus had a lot of harsh words for the religious leaders. See, because they saw the scriptures and they didn't see him. Therefore, when you read the scriptures, you always look at how Jesus is tied in to the scriptures. I'm going to give you a statement here. And I really, in my whole experience and what I've seen, this is incredibly helpful, is to understand the theme of the entire Bible. If you look at the theme of the entire Bible, you, by the way, if you read the entire Bible, take it in context, you won't get off base. You won't get off base. But you have to read the whole thing. And then if you understand the theme of the Bible, you won't get off base. And I don't mean you won't make mistakes, you won't mess up, but you won't just go off in left field and do something crazy, all right? And so this is important to know that you read the scriptures and you will not get off base. Number one, read the whole thing. I base our religion on Jeremiah 29:10. Israel comes back to from Babylon. Well, you're going to be a total mess, okay? Because that's a piece. And the whole purpose and context is off base if you pull Jesus out. Pull Jesus out. Why did Israel, and I'm just kind of getting going, why would it be important for the Israelites to go back to Israel from Babylon? I mean, this is the theme. Is supposed to tell us about Jesus. Because Jesus is prophesied that he will come from Bethlehem, come from Bethlehem, and is spread through the world. That's the reason he moves the Jews from Babylon to Israel. It's because of Jesus. Now, you see what I mean? You see where I'm going? See, if you leave Jesus, you can pull anything out of the world and talk about it, but you keep putting Jesus within the scriptures. First Chronicles, Second Samuel, First Samuel, Second Samuel, First Kings, Second Kings, First Chronicles, Second Chronicles. History. Now, I love history. That's lots of fun. So I can just read it, you know, just who struck John and everything else, you know, and he gave the whole background. The whole history, and there's some good stuff in there about how God moved, but why do you have the whole history? And I just said, it's the scriptures testify Jesus. Why do you need that history? Why do you need that history? Because within that history is God's protective record of how he protected Christ's line all the way up to Bethlehem. Jesus didn't appear. He went through that very line, protected, and God protected all those countries, and ultimately, he ended up in Bethlehem, and we understand the whole thing of him and how all of Scripture was pulled together to bring him to Bethlehem. Right there. See, that's what I mean. If you take Jesus out of the scriptures, you will be confused and you'll get on all sorts of different tangents. Amen? Now, it's an understanding. I'm going to roll here. How about Leviticus? Come on. Everybody, don't you love it? Now, I mean, I got honest. It's just, it's hard for me to read that. But I do read it because I get caught up with this every word. And I know if I skip something, you know, my page is going to catch on fire or something. I don't know. But you think of Leviticus, and it's full of sacrifices. I mean, that sacrifice you never dreamed of. You know, there's a grain sacrifice. So we just, I'm asking you, what does a grain sacrifice have to do with Jesus? Jesus. Well, let's just take the big picture. Leviticus and other places shows you all the sacrifices the Jews had to do to be accepted. Bottom line, that's what it was. All of them. Jews had to do this to be accepted. Do you know what Jesus says, what it says about in Hebrews? It says this. Jesus says this. Now, just think. You just read Leviticus. I mean, you're just inundated with all these sacrifices. You're going out of your mind. Then you read in Hebrews, and Jesus goes like this. I am the sacrifice. He just did away with Leviticus. Whole book. Whole book gone. And he goes, I am the sacrifice. And you go, so, you know, I have to read it again. I was like, but see, the point of it is, it's you see that, then when he says, I am the sacrifice, you look in Leviticus, my gosh, he covered everything. When Jesus said he's a sacrifice, he's a sacrifice for every single thing you can imagine. And then all of a sudden, because of Leviticus, you imagine, wow, Lord, what you've done is incomprehensible. Because he did. And he said, he is the last sacrifice. There's no more sacrifice. He literally, and I say this in fear, he literally did away with the book of Leviticus. He didn't do away with it. He fulfilled it. You see it, was that, then he fulfilled it. Oh, my gosh. Now, we look at this, you say, well, Jesus, you know, he came about. People thought this up, and it doesn't make any difference. No, 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 no. This came 2,000 years ago, and he fulfilled all these things. Can you imagine being those poor Jews just doing everything? Now, this is to be accepted. Now, we're here. I said, got it. We got all of the Leviticus. We're done. We're done. We're in good. But we recognize the majesty of God in the physical picture of what he showed us, that Jesus fulfilled all of that. It's Jesus. You take Jesus out, and you're wrapped around the axle. You're offering sacrifices, trying to build a temple, and all sorts of stuff that Jesus has already completed. Now, so here's the statement. This is important to stay on the right track and to understand these all these people and teachers around you, that they stay on the right track. And I have a scripture up there for this sentence, but this is really important. Scripture is the unfolding revelation or the revealing of Christ and the redemption of man. Scripture was written for the sole purpose of revealing Jesus and the sole purpose of showing the redemption of man. That's the purpose of Scripture. Now, there's lots of other stuff in there that, you know, connected, but that's the purpose. And without Jesus, you have nothing. Without Jesus, you have a cult. Without Jesus, you have judgment. Without Jesus, you have oppression. With Jesus, you have freedom. Amen? So, Scripture is unfolding revelation of the revealing of Christ and the redemption of man. Somebody says, I don't believe anything in the Bible. What about this? What about this? What about this? Well, those are good questions, but you're missing the point here, because the Bible is about revealing Jesus. Until we talk about that, there's no sense in talking the rest of it. And by the way, there is no sense in talking about the rest of it. I'm telling you, there's no sense talking about the rest of it. See? What if you just prove to them that a whale swallowed Jonah? You just prove to them. And he says, okay, I believe that. And that's all the others know. You have taught them into the pit of hell. Because that's not the question. Whether a whale swallowed Jonah. Other than the fact Jesus said he did. But other than that, the point is, unless they understand that Jesus is the sacrifice, unless they understand that the Bible revealed the Scriptures is the unfolding revelation of Christ and the redemption of man, that's the only thing. He says, listen, I know you have lots of questions about the Bible, but this is what it tells you. No sense talking about the rest of it. Are y'all with me? Do you see how we get sucked into stuff? by arguments and stuff. And we're right. I mean, you know, that's probably the reason we were. But no, it's all about Jesus. And when they come to Jesus and say, Christ and the redemption of man has been revealed to them, then the world, through the Holy Spirit, opens up. Amen? Did you see where we are? His ways are higher than our ways. Don't be sucked in to their ways. Scripture. God breathed. And by the way, you should really write that sentence down. Scripture is the unfolding revelation of Christ and redemption of man. Period. Period. Now, you can, there's some other things you can study, but that's it. If you go off from that, waste of time. Now, therefore, if we believe that, hey, we believe that? Amen. We believe that. Well, if we believe that, we're not going to dare add or subtract a single word from the Scriptures, are we? We're not going to touch it. It's like, no, because we're just like, whoa. You know, it's like, we're not going to touch it if we believe that. Look at what it says in Proverbs 36. In the Scriptures say, in Proverbs 30, verse 6, do not add to God's words, or he will rebuke you and prove you a liar. Now, I actually think about that every time I come up here, you know, and when I have a, you know, like a great wild thought or something, I always tell you that this is me. And so you can immediately discount it. I mean, you can just, ah, that just wild. And it is. But I know, I don't want to say, well, the Lord said and he didn't say it. Oh, my God. What God would do is write it on paper, put it in the Washington Post, and send it to the whole world. I mean, you know, who is this idiot? Okay, here we are. 36. Do not add to the words of God, to God's word, or he will rebuke you and prove you a liar. And you see this in a lot of churches and a lot of moral issues. They're rewriting the Bible, what they're doing. So you don't have to argue with them, just read the Bible. And God's going to prove them to be liars. And, it, you know, it just can't, it's not going to work out well. Now, I want to read this to you. I don't have an overhead for this, but I'm going to read it to you. And so we have this in the last book. Excuse me. We have this in the last book of the Bible, Revelation. And it really is talking about the book of Revelation and what's said in Revelation. But I think the application to all of Scripture is good. Okay? And so we should pay attention to this. And we have this gold mine of the Scripture. But I'm going to read to you Revelations chapter 22, verses 18 through 19. Now, I don't have an overhead here, but just listen to this. And all of the Scriptures tied into the Scripture, complementing one another, but says this, I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. If anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this book. He's like, no, not doing it. Not doing it. You know, and it's, I don't care. And, you know, I say this, you never know what kind of jam you get in or something, how brave you'd be. But somebody, no, you just got to declare this is not true in the Scripture. You go, I don't think I do that. You know, and it's like, I'm really kind of, you know, I'm really kind of fearful from you, but I think, no, God, no, I'm going to have to, I got to put all my cards on God. You do what you want to do because of this. So he's telling us up front, and we get to think, well, everybody's doing this, nobody cares, they're getting away with it. No, they're not getting away with it. Not getting away, and I mean, we won't get away with it. This compromise to go along. No, we won't get away with it. So we have all these things together. Now, so I'm going to close it out with this. Now I want to add this too, and I'm part of my testimony, and it really ties this, you know, when you talk about legacy, number one, God speaks to us, and number two, Scriptures or God breathed. I was in a jam, and I've told you this before, and it was just, I couldn't believe the whole world fell apart. Married, son's little baby. I mean, it was, you don't have a job, you don't have any money, you didn't know about it. I mean, you talk about destitute. I mean, it was like the, it's even now, it's hard to describe, even probably for you, oh, you're not. No, I mean, no, we were destitute, unbelievable. And literally in a desert, physical desert, to drive home thing. And I went out, and I cried out, and I mean, it was really a, you know, not raising a church or anything about God, but I just did one of these, you know, prayers. I said, God, this is not fair. See, I let him know if he didn't notice. This is not fair, you know. This is not fair. You got to help me. Yeah, that was the prayer. Now, what happened within a 24-hour period, changed. I mean, everything changed. And it was so much so that, you know, after we got house, car, job, everything, and I said, God, so this is where, number one, God speaks. And it was like, turned to him, he spoke. It happened. I didn't know anything except it happened. And I said, well, what happened? The only thing I know that happened is ask God to help me, and he did. And if he did, I want to know who he is. Long story short, Linda had a Bible, one of these things you graduate from fifth, sixth grade, little red thing, you know, no notes in anything. So anyway, the Lord moved on. I want to find out who God is. So I said, I'm just going to read the Bible. So I read it. Read the whole thing, starting Genesis. And this is the truth. Since I knew that God did it, I didn't skip, like you get the Leviticus. Can you imagine? Your name raised to church, you get the Leviticus. You know, got to be kidding me. But I didn't skip any because I was looking for God, and I thought if I skip something, I'd miss it. So I read the whole thing because they didn't want to miss it. You know, about a year, I read through it. Then I get to Romans chapter 3, verse 24, 25, 26. Now, I had a history. I had a lineage of history. Okay? I had the Gospels and saw Jesus pop into the world. Read the book of Acts. You know, it's information, and I get to Romans, so I have information. I'm not saved, but I have information. Then it says in Romans 3, 23, 24, 25, and it says, but God, it says, God gave Christ as an expiation. Now, I was not a good student. What's that? But he gave Christ as one, his expiation. And you look up expiation, and it'll tell you what it is. Propitiation. I mean, it's like they don't want you to know. They don't want you to know what Christ did. I mean, because it's like, I never heard those words. I never heard those words in my life. So I look them up in the dictionary. I still have the Bible, and I have the dictionary. And I looked up expiation, which is a really good word. You pay somebody else's penalty. Basically, propitiation is better. You pay somebody else's penalty and turn away the wrath of God. God gave Jesus to pay the penalty. So I put the definition. God gave Jesus to pay the penalty. And it says God gave Jesus propitiation. Not only paid the penalty, he turned away the wrath of God. Oh, by the way, verse 23 says this. 3:23. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I just said amen. I mean, you know, I got that one. But it said, then God gave Christ as an expiation, as a propitiation. So I knew I was a sinner. And it's like, he paid the penalty. He turned away the wrath of God. And I remember looking at it, I said, it's like Jesus was a substitute for me. I read the whole Bible, Romans 3. It's like he's a substitute for me. And I looked up and I go, I'm forgiven. I passed from darkness to light. I just said, I'm forgiven. I never questioned it from that day on. And I was the only Christian I knew. Linda wasn't saved. Nobody around me was saved. You know, I was the only Christian. And I thought, really, I thought I was just catching up with everybody else. You know, I thought everybody else knew. And I said, hey, man, you wouldn't believe what I read. And they go, whoa, buddy. Because it's like, well, then I found out, well, they don't know either. They don't know either. But now the point of it, what happened to Scriptures? What happens when you read the Scriptures? It's the revelation of Christ and redemption of man. And you read the Scriptures. and you'll come to know Christ. Be saved. That's what the Scripture's for. The revelation of Christ, the redemption of man. Oh, guys, people say, amen. And so number two, our legacy, we acknowledge with the prophets, the apostles, and Jesus that the Scriptures are God-breathed. And in 2 Peter 1:20, 21, it says this, no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation, for no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man. But men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the goodness. We thank you for your word. We thank you that you have given us everything about you that we need. And you're just calling upon us to read it. And to help us along, you will humble us. And you'll cause us to hunger so that you can feed us, to teach us, to trust in every word that comes from the mouth of God. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Thank you.